from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
'Kidding me? That's how the college football season starts. Are you kidding me? What kind of a season are we going to have now? I mean, if it's any indication of what happened on ESPN yesterday, in, as Georgia Tech is calling it, Dub Lynn, we are in for one hell of a wild ride. This is going to be really interesting to see what happens over the next 4.5 months. Wow, how about that? Well, welcome to the Sunday version here, the 10-2 Sunday version with John Fricke on your show at 404-726-0929. How about that for Georgia Tech yesterday? Man, and that was, that's just the first game out. That's it, just the first game out of the gate, and Tech does that. And it wasn't some kind of, here's the other thing that was about it, that wasn't some kind of fluke. Oh, you know, because occasionally you'll get a fluky kind of win, right? You'll get a win where a much heavily favored team just has a, especially on opening day, a really bad day, and they turn the ball over 6 times, and they commit 15 penalties, or they just, nothing is kind of working for them, and the other team just kind of gets a break or two, and the ball bounces there. No, that's not what happened yesterday. Georgia Tech lined up and beat up Florida State. I mean, let's be clear here who the better team was. Because there was no doubt who the better team was. And even when Florida State went down the field to tie the game in that long 15-play drive, which was impressive, a couple of fourth down conversions there. I was kind of screaming at Georgia Tech, what are you doing playing prevent defense? But that's a different story. Even when they tied it up, I thought, well, you know, if Georgia Tech doesn't win this game, it'll be a shame, because Georgia Tech was obviously the better team on the field. They were obviously the better team. And as a result, Mike Norvell, they are calling for Mike Norvell's head in Tallahassee and across the country. Oh, yeah, they are. Well, welcome to it, 10-2 all you, and we'll be talking about this game. We'll be talking about college football, because it is Sunday, and Sunday being the first day of the week, this is college football kickoff week. If you're a Georgia fan and a Clemson fan, you're getting ready this week for Georgia-Clemson. If you're an Alabama fan, a Tennessee fan, no matter who you are, everybody's playing this week, right? And we got so many big games that are going to be happening this week. We got Notre Dame playing at Texas A&M. We got Miami playing at Florida. We got Clemson and Georgia. We got USC and UCLA. I mean, it's on after on after on with huge games over the next, say, 8 days or so here between now and Labor Day. So it's going to be an awful lot of fun for college football fans. And in about 8 days or 8 or 9 days, we'll be coming out of that first week of the year kind of going, okay, where do we stand? Because for all the predict, look, I make predictions, everybody makes predictions, but we all understand that at best they're educated guesses. You know, I was kind of rolling my eyes at Kirk Herbstreit and Desmond Howard. Well, I roll my eyes at Desmond Howard anyway for a lot of reasons. But anyway, I was rolling my eyes yesterday when they're making their picks, and Desmond picks Oregon to win the national title. I'm like, yeah, right. But he could be right. I mean, I don't see it, but it's just an educated guess. I have no idea. I mean, Dan Lanning could go out there and steamroll everybody, and we're sitting here going, oh, my God, Oregon is the greatest team in the world. Look at what they've done. And that could happen. Dylan Gabriel really changed that team, and they're just, balls of fire. I have no idea. So we do our best educated guess. Florida State, for example, has on paper more talent than Georgia Tech. They just have 17 transfers that they had to try to incorporate into the lineup in the two deep. And I mentioned it yesterday, how fast that happens. And is DJU actually going to find, a new home here? And you could get mad at DJU all you want. I think he is what he is. He's kind of an average quarterback. But he was under assault. Make no mistake, Georgia Tech won that game on guts, guile, on veteran leadership. Haynes King and Jamal Haynes and making plays and things of that nature. But where they really won the game at the point of attack. Georgia Tech simply physically beat Florida State on both lines. They just beat them up. And I went, that's not a good look. Because one thing is true that all national champions share. You've got to be really good up front, which is the unspoken the reason Georgia can get away, and I don't mean this to be a slam in any way, but the reason that Georgia could get away with having quarterbacks the nature of Jake Fromm and Stetson Bennett, who are slightly above average quarterbacks. I mean, let's call them what they are. The reason they can get away with that, not having great wideouts, the reason they can get away with it, because their offensive line and their defensive line are so bloody good. And when you get the best offensive line and the best defensive line in the nation, you're going to win a lot of games. And all you got to do is put decent talent around them, and you're going to win a lot of games. When you got no offensive line and no defensive line, you got nothing. Nothing, honey. Nothing. And this is one of the reasons, I'll digress for a second, that you ought be really excited about the Atlanta Falcons this year, is that their interior defensive line and their interior offensive line are among the best in the NFL on both sides of the ball. And that is a very good sign for success for the Atlanta Falcons. You just don't have to have a quarterback who's going to throw the game away. And they don't. So, but back to that, yeah, this is going to be such a wild ride. And I don't think what happened with Tech was an outlier. I would love to hear from all you Tech fans here. You ought to be celebrating. Look, it's going to be a tough slog for Tech. Let's make no mistake about it. They have a lot of really hard games ahead. But they do get Georgia State in the Panthers opener at Bobby Dodd coming up this Saturday. They should be 2-0 at Georgia State. Who knows? I mean, I don't have high hopes for Georgia State this year. I think they're kind of retooling over there at Center Park, but you never know. I mean, we've seen Tech lay eggs before against teams that they should have beaten at Grant Field, so who's to say? It's hard. We don't get a real line on college football until it's one of the reasons I never bet college when I was betting. I'm not a very good bettor anyway, but when I was betting, I never bet college football until after the third week of the year because I really wanted to get an idea of who was who and what was what. Because one of the reasons upsets happen so much is because not because teams aren't prepared well or whatnot, you just really don't know how good they are. And for Florida State, they are in a pickle. They're in a big world of hurt because they have no margin for error. None. Now, Florida State can almost not afford to lose another game. They could lose one and still get in. But if they lose one more, then the only way they're going to get in is to win the ACC championship game. And they better make sure that they're even in the ACC championship game because yesterday's loss wasn't just a loss. It was a conference loss. So if Florida State loses another game and doesn't make the ACC title game, they're probably out. So they, and you, how can you say they're out? Because the ACC is not getting three teams in, guys. They're just not. They're just not going to get three teams in. They'll be lucky at this point to get two. And if I'm Jim Phillips, I'm sweating bullets now because I can't have Miami lose to Florida. I cannot have North Carolina on Thursday lose to Minnesota. And they got to go on the road up to Minnesota. And the Gophers are going to give the Tar Heels everything they can handle. I cannot have Clemson get run out by Georgia. Because that, if those three things happen, if Miami loses to Florida, Clemson gets run by Georgia, and North Carolina loses to Minnesota, I'll guarantee you the ACC is getting one spot. And we can say that after the first week of the year. Up, you're down to one. That's what it's going to be because everybody will be kind of shading the ACC the rest of the year. That's just a fact. And the committee is going to look at it and go, yeah, the fourth place team in the ACC is better than the second place team in the ACC. Fact. And so the ACC cannot afford another black eye. And even though this is a conference game, they really needed Florida State to go out there. The ACC needed Florida State to go out there and reestablish Florida State, win the game 38-14. Okay, Florida State's back. Good. All right, check that out. No, no, it's not what happened. And so Georgia Tech is in the mix. How far they're going to go? I don't know. Maybe they can win 10 games. I know Georgia Tech fans are thinking, hey, we can make the playoffs. I'm like, oh, okay. You got a tough schedule ahead. But they're a good team. Heck, they went 7-6 last year. Maybe they can go 8-4 this year. Maybe they can go 9-3. Win at 10? Who knows? Maybe they can. Maybe they just start ripping off win after win after win. And they start, you know, hey, listen, this is going to happen. There are going to be surprise teams this year that make the playoffs. Could Georgia Tech be one of them? Sure, I guess. Why not? I mean, why not? Again, understand that when we come to this new playoff, and this is why it was so dramatic what happened yesterday, that once we get past the top, say, the four byes that are automatically in the conference champions, and then the four home teams, those last four spots, 9, 10, 11, and 12, there's going to be, for those last four spots, there are going to be a dozen teams that can make a case. And everybody is going to be screaming they should be in. It's going to be wild. I'm just, mark my words, it's going to be wild. Sword of Braves won yesterday, too. How about that? The Sword of Braves have won three in a row. They've won six of their last seven. They're five back of the Phillies, three up on the Mets. 33 games to go. They play at noon today. They're kind of fun to watch, the Sword of Braves. I mean, look, they are what they are. I understand from some sources that, you know, my Twitter is kind of calling me out a little bit about waving the white flag yesterday, which, of course, I didn't do. Sometimes, as a talk show host, sometimes you say things, and we call it selective hearing, okay? And selective hearing is when people listening only hear what they want to hear, and or they stop listening once they hear something without listening to the whole thing, okay? So when I was waving the white flag yesterday, I said I waved the white flag. I thought I said it pretty clearly. Waved the white flag on my expectation that this team was going to be, as I said at the beginning of the year, World Series or bust. I was waving the white flag on World Series or bust. And I said, look, I'll accept this team for what they are. They're the Sword of Braves. I'm going to root for them. If they make the playoffs, great. If they don't, I'm not going to hold these guys to account. I'm just not going to hold their feet to the fire and say it's your fault that you did it. These guys, the Laureanos and the you know, Urshulas and the Merrifields and the Kelnicks and the everybody that's trying to piece this thing together, this isn't on them. I'm not going to hold their feet to the fire. I don't hold them to the same standard that I hold Acuna and Albies and Riley and whatever Matt Olson's become. I just don't, okay? I just don't hold them to the same standard. We're not paying them the same amount of money. I don't hold them to the same standard. And so I'm waving the white flag on the World Series or bust thing, and I'm just going to enjoy the rest of the year. And if they make the playoffs, great, and if they don't. But some people said, oh, you're giving up, you're quitting. I went, I never say anything of the sort. I just modified my view of the team based on what they have now. So modifying my view allows me to enjoy the team because I can't sit here and start, oh, my God, I can't believe they're going to choke. There's no choking. This team cannot choke, okay? If they don't make the playoffs, it is not a choke. They're doing the best they can, okay? And so it's like, go Sword of Braves. This is a team that has lost so much, and I'm not using it as an excuse, not at all. I'm just saying they've lost so much that I refuse to hold them accountable for the fact that they may not make the playoffs. That's all. It's not World Series or bust for me anymore. It's like, hey, let's have a little bit of fun. And if it plays out well, great. And if they win a World Series, oh my God, it's going to be insane. It's going to be insanely fun. So that's not jumping off the bandwagon there, David. I'm not jumping off any bandwagon. I'm just modifying my approach to the team based on current information. I have to do that. Anyway, Falcons are 2 weeks from today, and we'll talk a little Falcons coming up here. Will McFadden of AtlantaFalcons.com, he's the senior editor, is going to join us in a couple of minutes. We're going to get kind of the inside skinny as now the Atlanta Falcons' attention turns to the opening game. We're going to get his thoughts, his insight. We'll ask him about what the team is looking at in terms of, you know, again, a little bit of a look back on the preseason and the camp here and get kind of his thoughts, because I'm interested to take you from somebody who works at Flowery Branch, senior editor of AtlantaFalcons.com. His office is there, and that's where AtlantaFalcons.com is, to take you inside the building, so to speak, so that you can go into the locker room, so that you can hear from Will about what the team is saying, what the vibe is inside the team, not just some writer or me kind of espousing from long distance of what we see and what we think. I want to actually take you inside, and this is our avenue to do so, and he's going to join us in just a couple of minutes. Eric Slaughter is the technical director and executive producer of the program, and he is back at Colony Square. What is up, Eric?
Oh, man, it's a great Sunday morning. I feel the football fever. I'm ready for it, sir. I'm ready for it.
Yeah, it is football fever. It is game week for the Georgia Dogs, the Tennessee Vols, Alabama, Auburn, Clemson. It is game week. Yeah, Sunday's the first day of the week. Okay, anyway, Will McFadden of AtlantaFalcons.com live next with John Fricke on Sports Radio 90 to end the game.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Yeah.
Sports Radio 93.7 from the Northern Kia Studios on a beautiful Sunday. Going to be a warm week ahead. Tour championship in town. And, of course, all the college football and the Braves and everything we're keeping our eyes on. And this week will be the last week without a Falcons football game for quite some time. But that doesn't mean the regular season isn't on the minds of the Atlanta Falcons now that the exhibition season is over. So I wanted to take you inside Flowery Branch, and I reached out to Will McFadden. He is the senior editor of AtlantaFalcons.com and a man who knows the team from the inside of the buildings up there, and get kind of his impression of this team as we head towards the game against the Steelers. And he joins us this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline. Hey, Will.
Hey, John. How you doing?
I'm doing fine here. I'm getting ready for the regular season here. So I wanted to just throw a few questions at you and have you kind of fill in some blanks for some of the fans that we talk to on the radio and on socials here. Do you, Will McFadden, as you come out of this exhibition season, you know, relatively healthy, we understand about, you know, what happened prior to, you know, the arrival of Judon and Simmons, is this team ready for the start of the season?
Yeah, I believe that they are, but I say that having the privilege of being able to watch them in practice throughout training camp and the preseason. And so I completely understand the notion, I think, from the fan base about, okay, this is another preseason in which a lot of the starters have not played, you know, significant reps. So if there is some trepidation about, you know, Kirk Cousins kind of coming back, Grady Jarrett, you know, even Troy Anderson, right? Like, I think there are real questions that are born more from, we just haven't seen it. But if you have been able to kind of get up there and watch practice, the first thing that stands out is really just the amount of full team work that Raheem Morris and his staff have implemented here that is kind of different from anything else I've experienced since I began covering the team very closely in like 2017. So they have really not wasted any time, I think, going up in these full kind of 11-on-11 scrimmage periods. They held a full team scrimmage last Wednesday. They, of course, got joint practices against the Dolphins. So there's been a lot of team work this camp. And then on top of that, the tempo set from guys like Kirk Cousins on the offense, and then defensively, you know, like Jesse Bates, A.J. Terrell in the secondary, and then really it's kind of in this linebacker core in the middle there defensively. I think the energy is up. I think the intensity has been really high from kind of the start of camp and all throughout. So for that reason, I do feel like this team is maybe in a better spot going into the season than the fan base might otherwise feel, solely because they just haven't really seen a ton of the starters out there on the field.
Will McFadden, who is senior editor of AtlantaFalcons.com, you mentioned the fans don't get a chance to see these guys, so you be the eyes and ears here. Let's talk about a couple of things. One, you mentioned Kirk Cousins and Grady Jarrett and Troy Anderson. Are they all 100% ready to go?
They totally look ready to go. I mean, they look great out there. Kirk Cousins, I saw him chase down a and I'm blanking on the name here, but he threw one of his few interceptions all camp and ended up, and I believe it was on his birthday, ended up just chasing the defensive back down the field, sprinting after him. And I mean, internally, I was kind of like, stop, Kirk, stop, Kirk, stop, Kirk, because that's not where you want to see it. But he obviously looks good to go. He feels good to go. No setbacks have happened. He's been knocked to the ground. He's gone back up. So he looks great. Grady Jarrett looks, I wrote down in my notes on Wednesday at the scrimmage, vintage Grady Jarrett making amazing plays out there. And then Troy Anderson looks fast. He looks like he's got the most sideline-to-sideline range of any Falcons linebacker since Deion Jones. And, you know, we know when Deion Jones, like early in his career, when he really could cover the whole field, it added just that dynamic element, I think, to Atlanta's defense. So the guys he mentioned, and on top of that, like any of the guys who really came into camp with dinged up in any way, shape, or form, looks good. Kyle Pitts looks really good. The only guys at this point, it looks like Nate Landman, Caden Ellis, Raheem Morris said yesterday, day-to-day on that. So, or Friday night, I apologize, day-to-day on those guys. So we'll see kind of what they are looking like in the lead-up to the Pittsburgh game. But right now, everybody looks healthy and kind of good to go.
Justin Simmons and Matthew Judon are going to be up to speed?
I hope so. I would expect they will be. They've not done a ton of work so far with the full team. Matthew Judon has done more, which is understandable, I think, given maybe some of the pre-snap responsibilities of a safety compared to kind of an outside linebacker edge rusher. It's a little bit more lineup and play if you're Matthew Judon, but Justin Simmons has a lot of familiarity in what I expect to be kind of the defensive foundation scheme-wise. So I would really anticipate those guys getting ramped up here over the next couple of weeks. And, you know, certainly that first week going into Pittsburgh when it is more game plan oriented, to me, I think that would be a little bit easier to get them fully ready to go. It's a little bit of a probably more a simpler bite to chew off when you're just game planning for one specific team, but they have a ton of experience in this league. They are veteran players and great players for a reason. I would anticipate them no issue week one, good to go.
All right, so we're talking Will McFadden, senior editor at AtlantaFalcons.com, about the Turk here. Natron Brooks, Donovan Mutant, Chris Blair, any of those guys make the 53, in your opinion?
Of the three you just mentioned, I had Chris Blair on my most recent 53-man roster prediction, which went up last week. He is somebody who I think going into the final preseason game, so through the first two preseason games, he was third in the league in the preseason in receiving yards. And he was only third by 3 yards. So that kind of showed, I think, how he has popped really this preseason as kind of a go-to receiver for really any quarterback that's been in the game at the same time as him. But he's done it in a few different ways. We remember back to the Miami game, that kind of 41-yard catch down the right sideline. He's caught some kind of crossing routes that he's then been able to turn upfield and get some yards after the catch. So he is somebody that I think, given the scheme change offensively and we anticipate more 11 personnel, I would look at him as maybe sticking as the sixth receiver behind Kadarius Hodge and Casey Washington as kind of those 4, 5, 6 guys. The other two that you mentioned, I can't remember if it was Mutant or Eifler, but either one of those two guys I think has had an incredible camp at the inside linebacker position. It just so happens that, you know, that group is pretty well set, I think, with your four, and that includes J.D. Bertrand in kind of that interior four. But those two would be prime practice squad candidates, or, you know, if I'm another team around the league, like, and I see kind of what they have done this preseason, they're really strong contenders as well. And then who was, remind me, your third one on that list?
Brooks.
Yeah, Natron Brooks. Natron. So, that's another one where I feel like the cornerback position is a little bit set if you're going to have Antonio Hamilton and Kevin King as kind of your fifth and sixth guys there. Now, they've done something interesting with Kevin King, and they've started looking at him a little bit in like a safety, almost jacked, like star linebacker type of Nick Saban big safety role. But that was very recent at the very end of camp. I wonder personally if that has something to do with, you know, DeMarco Hellams being out for a significant amount of time per, you know, Raheem Morris. So if they are going to place him on IR and you have an internal candidate who could be maybe your fourth safety and your sixth corner, like that frees you up numbers-wise to maybe add somebody somewhere else or keep somebody at one of these other spots. So for that reason, I kind of think that Natron Brooks may be on the outside looking in, even though he had a great second preseason game.
Will McFadden of AtlantaFalcons.com with John Fricke kind of fill in some of the blanks as we head towards the Steelers game. A couple of real quick questions because we got about 5 minutes left and I want to be able to get into a couple other areas. What happens with Taylor Heinicke right now? Is he going to get cut, traded? What's going to happen?
So I think he will stick around, but it's a little bit of an interesting situation, right? Because you've got the third quarterback now, your emergency third quarterback, which would be an extra man on game day on your 48 active players. So you could have 49. But to get him onto the practice squad, you would have to release him. And if you do that, there is always the risk that any one of these teams around the league can decide, hey, Taylor Heinicke has 38 career starts. Like, let's go ahead and add him to the roster as our backup. He can do some good things. So there is that risk-reward element to it, which maybe, as I just likened back to with the Kevin King kind of going at safety, if you can free up an extra spot, maybe that is where somebody like Taylor Heinicke goes. But I totally understand, like, he has not performed the way you would expect a veteran to, in preseason, he would be the first to admit it. So his future in Atlanta is a little bit murky at this point in time. I still think he'll make it.
What are the expectations, Will, to take me and the fans listening inside? What are the expectations like inside the locker room? Are they quiet? Are they loud? What is the kind of, you know, the sentiment, the zeitgeist of the team?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've got two kind of parts to this answer. So I think the first is it stems from the head coach, and Raheem is so effervescent and just such a ball of energy, right? Like he's a battery pack. He doesn't require an outlet. He's got the energy all the time wherever he goes. And players are kind of thriving off of that and feeding off of that. And I think it's allowing them to be a little bit more themselves. Drake London especially has kind of said this training camp, like he feels like he's able to be a little bit more true to who he is and just be himself out there on the field, which, you know, players will say that from time to time. I'm sure everyone means it a little bit differently, but I think that is going to be a key element, and that comes from Raheem and just the culture that he's setting. The second part is this is now suddenly like a little bit more of a veteran team than I think we have been used to the last couple of years, especially defensively with the additions of Matthew Judon and Justin Simmons. And I was talking to Lorenzo Carter about this last week after practice, and he was just saying, like, Matthew Judon is one of the few guys in this building defensively that, like, has more experience than Lorenzo Carter in this league. And so in these interstitial moments, in these quiet moments in the locker room, I get the sense that these guys are all just really talking ball. Like, they are just kind of sitting down, asking each other questions, you know, hey, is this how you're seeing this? Or when you were in Baltimore, like, what did you guys do here? And it kind of does feel like the players are taking a little bit of the onus upon themselves, knowing that they are set up for something special. And for the guys that have been here the last couple of years, knowing maybe the bad taste that they have in their mouth and that they want to accomplish something that they haven't yet accomplished here in Atlanta. So it's kind of a combination of a lot of energy, but then I do think there's a sense of they need to prove it this season, and they're not going to be able to do that anywhere else but on the field. And so they're taking a lot of this stuff seriously.
All right, I got about a minute, Will. Will McFadden, senior editor, AtlantaFalcons.com. I've been following this team for a long, long time, Will. And in that time, I can honestly say we've had great offenses that carry the defense. 2016, we had great defenses that carry the offense, even as recent as last year. Which side of the ball, in your opinion, this year is better, the offense or the defense?
Ooh, wow, that's a tough one, John. So I'm going to try to be quick. I know we're up against the clock. I think you will see the defense make more impactful plays than we are used to from Atlanta's defense. So I would liken them more maybe to what we saw last year, where you get Jesse Bates making a game-swinging pick, you get a big sack in the red zone, like impact plays. But I think the offense is going to be the floor for what this team can accomplish. And I think they're going to start faster than people think. And I think they're going to be pretty good all year. So splash plays from the defense, and then a sustainable offense is kind of the key to victory for Atlanta this season to me.
Yeah, that was a setup question. And the reason it is, Will, is because in the, this is my 50th year of fandom and 45 years of covering the team. I'm not sure I've seen a team that was more balanced on both sides of the ball. This is one of the reasons I'm so excited about the year, because you can answer, and I'm going to ask the fans here, you can answer offense, defense, you can answer that either way. And yeah. I don't know the last time I could ask that, and you could go either way. It's just not something that, I don't know. My answer is I don't know. let's find out. So yeah, appreciate it, Will.
Of course, John, anytime, man.
Yeah, Will McFadden, senior editor at AtlantaFalcons.com. You can go to AtlantaFalcons.com, read all of Will's work here. And that's the question I do have for you. Which side of the ball is better, offense or defense? 404-726-0929 if you want to be part of the program. All right, I appreciate Will's insight a lot. You heard it. We have Braves to talk about. If you're a Tech fan, you are welcome to come on here and celebrate a gigantic win for the Tech program. If you're a Florida State fan, you want to fire Mike Norvell, you can come on and tell me that too. And, of course, we'll talk Falcons here. Which side of the ball is better, offense or defense? It's a Sunday with John Fricke on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. Well, my My thanks to Will McFadden here. And my apologies to all of you. I got the COVID again, second time, about, I think you may know this. It was a week ago Friday, so it's 9 days in now. And boy, this has just hit me like a ton of bricks, and I can't shake the bloody thing. So I apologize to all of you here. I'm doing my best here at the Northern Kia Studios to kind of work through it. 404-726-0929. It's all you. I always like when I get a chance to talk to somebody who knows what they're talking about. And that's not, I'm not saying you. I'm talking about to experts out there, to kind of throw them a question that they're not expecting in an interview, to see if they can hit it here. And the only reason I'm not trying to necessarily make their life difficult. I'm just trying to get them to think outside their little box. And so when I say to Will McFadden, you know, which side of the ball is better, offense or defense? This is a, you know, were I writing for AtlantaFalcons.com, and of course I don't, I guess could, if, you know, but I don't. But if I were writing for AtlantaFalcons.com, I would write an article saying, you know, which side of the ball is better, offense or defense. And so I'm going to ask you, okay, at 404-726-0929, which side of the ball is better? Because it's a rare day in my Atlanta Falcondom, I think that's the term, that I can honestly tell you that I'm not sure. You look on offense, you go, okay, you got Kirk Cousins, you got one of the better offensive lines, top five offensive line in the NFL. You've got a Drake London and a Kyle Pitts and a Bijan Robinson and a Tyler Allgeier. You got weapons all over the place. We'll see what Mooney can bring to the team. We expect a 10-point a game acceleration, between 7 and 10 points a game better than they were last year. And a much more efficient offense that's, you know, obviously got a deep, they're two deep at running back. They may be three deep at running back with McClellan. They're at least two deep at quarterback. So they're a deep, strong offense. And you go, okay, it's going to be an offensive team. And then you look at the other side and you go, do they actually have one of the best secondaries in the NFL? They may. If Clark Phillips takes a step up, if Kevin King is this pretty good, and you got Mike Hughes and he offered to go with three Pro Bowlers and Justin Simmons, Jesse Bates, and A.J. Terrell, okay, that may be one of the better secondaries in the entire, well, it is one of the better secondaries in the entire NFL. To go with one of the best interior defensive lines in the NFL. And you start looking at Pro Bowl caliber players, and this is without guys breaking out and taking step up. Okay, we're not even talking about, will this be a step up breakout year for an Ebikadi? A step out breakout year, for a, you know, a Zach Harrison, a Troy Anderson. We're just talking about known commodities here, okay? Known commodities like Grady and Onyemata and Jesse and Justin and AJ. So we're 5 to 6 deep on Pro Bowl known commodities on defense. You're 5 to 6 deep on Pro Bowl known commodities on offense. And I don't know which side of the ball is better. 404-726-0929. Which side do you think is better? Because this is rare. I was thinking of kind of go all the way back. You know, if you think about, you know, maybe the first Super Bowl team, you know, they kind of had a balanced club. If you think about 1980, if you go way back to the Barkowski years, that was sort of a balanced club. They had some really good pieces on offense, really good pieces on defense. And I'm not, and Grady would probably tell you, look, you go back to the Super Bowl of 2016 and that year and this year, and that I would think that Grady would say, I'm going to put words in his mouth here, and I don't mean to, Grady, because I don't want you coming after me, but I think Grady would probably nod his head in approval that on paper this defense is better than that defense. And he's not trying to throw shade at anybody. He's not probably going to try and, hey, listen, this is going to be what it's going to be. He's not going to try and sell out his former teammates. But I think we can all see that on defense, this team is better on paper than that defense was. Now, whether it performs to that level, I don't know. But on paper, it's certainly better, okay? It just is. Are they as good offensively? Probably not. But you know what? They don't have to be as good because that offense was record-smashing, 504 points and everything. But it looks a lot like that offense. If this team scores 404 points, I'll be happy. You know, I mean, that would be, if they score 450 points, I'll be thrilled. They don't have to break the 504-point record here. They just got to be efficient, be good in the red zone, score touchdowns. But I don't know which side of the ball is better, which is a really good problem to have on paper. 404-726-0929. One thing that we could talk about. Another thing we could talk about, I do want to hear, I want to give an open opportunity. You Tech fans have every right to come on here and crow. Okay, you just have every right to come on here and crow. You didn't just beat Florida State. You beat Florida State. You beat the, I didn't, when Florida State scored that last touchdown, I did not want Florida State to win the game. Now, I have nothing against Florida State. I just didn't want them to win the game because Tech outplayed them. And I thought, oh, that's going to be kind of unfair. And then people are going to go, well, you know, Tech choked and Florida State's really the better team. And I went, no, no, you didn't watch the game. Tech was the better team. Tech was the better team. And boy, are they calling for Mike Norvell's head. Oh, my goodness. When you've got, all right, if you're an old school baseball fan, I was looking at all these people that are screaming for Florida State to fire Mike Norvell. One of them was Steve Balboni. Steve, you mean bye-bye Balboni, who was a Florida State baseball star 40-some-odd years ago? I'm like, that dude's still around? You're getting called out by baseball players. Alex, baseball players we haven't heard from in 30 years for $100. Steve, bye-bye Balboni. Suddenly he pops up, fire Mike Norvell. I'm like, oh, okay. Hey, Steve, how you doing? So if you're one of these Florida State fans who wants to fire Mike Norvell, I'd love to hear from you. Because were I a Florida State fan watching that game, we got punched in the mouth. We got physically beaten. No good. Just no good. Florida State scored that opening drive, and I went, here we go. Oh, no. Because from that moment on until that last drive there, why Georgia Tech was playing prevent defense on fourth down, I have no idea. Don't ask. You're winning the game at the line of scrimmage. Send everybody. They shouldn't. Okay. But anyway, hopefully they clean that kind of mistake up. Anyway, prevent defense prevents you from winning. So except for that final drive, which was well executed by Florida State, and I give them credit, Georgia Tech owned the game. There was never any really doubt that Georgia Tech was up. I mean, the whole thing at the end of the half there, was there a second left on the clock for them to make the field goal, and then Fitzgerald makes a 59-yarder? Okay, man, congrats. But aside from that, Georgia Tech controlled the flow of the game. They physically dominated the game. I was like, okay, they're the better team. They were the better team. And I don't think, by the way, I don't think that was a one-off, okay? I think if they played tomorrow, Georgia Tech would be the better team. Now, does that mean that Georgia Tech is actually a 10-win team and capable of making the playoffs? Maybe. Does that mean that Florida State's only a 7-win team? Maybe a little bit of both. I don't know. I mean, we don't know yet, and we might not know for a few weeks here, because I said yesterday, prior to the game, that Florida State with 17 transfers in and they're too deep, it was probably going to take them a little while to get on the page. And I imagine by the end of the year, they'll be a better football team than you saw yesterday in Ireland. But it also gives me pause about DJU. And oh my God, there was some moron who was in my mentions. Who's, you could go to my Twitter and see it, who's like, I remember when John Fricke in 2021 said, he actually said this. Eric, he said this. You ready for this one? This is a classic, right? Like he would actually remember this, because I never said it, so I don't know how you remember it, but even if I had said it, how you remember something I said 3 years ago is beyond me. Eric, he said, I remember when John Fricke said 3 years ago the Falcons should tank so that they could draft DJU.
A quarterback who had never probably played or played very simple, never won a national championship, never won a Heisman. Yeah, that sounds like you, John.
Yeah, yeah. Well, set aside the fact that I've never called for the Falcons to tank ever. If I'm going to call for the Falcons to tank, I'm going to probably call for them to tank for a legendary quarterback.
Right. Okay? Two Heisman trophies, two national championships.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Or at least a quarterback that would be, I don't know, eligible for the draft. Which DJU wasn't in 2021. I'm just saying, maybe you would want him to be draft eligible. That would help. Dude makes something totally up. And it comes into my mentions. I remember when you said, no, I never said that. Oh my God. Just want to bang your head on the wall. Sometimes, again, being a talk show host, it has its own unique challenges. You know, all the people yesterday were kind of calling me out. Yeah, you're waving the white flag, you're quitting. No, that's not what I said. I never quit on the Braves. That's not what I said. I waved the white flag on one specific area. My demand that they win the World Series. I'm waving the white flag, that's out. I have no more demand that they win the World Series. I started the year saying, I demand they win the World Series after the failures of the previous 2 years. They're the best team in baseball. And then all the injuries happened, and I kept saying through the year, I'm not going to blame the injuries. And then the Riley injury happened, and I had to reassess. And I said, okay, I cannot hold Laureano and Merrifield and Ursula and Kelnick and even Soler responsible for all this. I cannot hold them responsible for all this. So I'm not going to demand. I can't say it's unfair of me to demand that they win the World Series. It's just not fair. They may win the. By the way, that's what makes the sort of race kind of fun to me now. That's what I said. Look, I say I wave the white flag and get rid of the demand that they win the World Series. So it's all gravy, which is what I said yesterday. It's going to be all gravy. If they make the playoffs, great. We're going to have a lot of fun. They're going to have kind of this underdog role, and it's going to be kind of sweet. Whatever they do, if they win a game or two or a series, it'll be kind of fun to watch these guys overachieve. If they fail to make the playoffs and they last 33 games and it kind of falls apart on them, I'm not going to be mad at them. I'm not going to be stomping my feet saying it was a failure, because it isn't a failure. Not making the playoffs this year for this team would not be a failure. The fact that we're 33 games out and they're three games up in the wild card is a testimony to the fact that they're pretty resilient, and the Brian Snicker's done a hell of a job keeping this team together. Think of what they've lost. Again, not an excuse, but when you lose Riley and you lose Albies and you lose, you know, Harris for that amount of time, and you lose Acuna and you lose Strider and you lose Matzik and you lose Minter and you lose everything they've lost here that they've had to try to patchwork together, and you lose Murphy, and then you have Sorta Olsen over there at first base and Sorta Arcia at short, and you sort of lost them too. I'm kind of going, okay, I don't know how this works, but he's managed to make it work, because Ozuna from the Braves has been spectacular, and the pitching has been really good, and Iggy's done his job, and certain guys have elevated to pick up the slack, the Schwellenbachs of the world, the Chris Sales of the world, right? And we got Lopez going today. They've won 3 in a row, 6 of 7. Hey, it's not the prettiest thing in the world, but they're winning. And all I did was wave the white flag on my demand that they win the World Series, and I will accept whatever happens moving forward. That's it. I don't know how to explain it any clearer. And I got to be you're jumping off the bandwagon. Oh, you're supposed to be the Kool-Aid guy. Oh, I can't believe you quit. I didn't quit. Oh, my God. Can I be any clearer? I'm the one that's kind of lost 80% of my hearing in my left ear because of this COVID. And I'm dealing with, I got to go to the doctor and an ENT, and I got to figure out, suddenly I've lost 80% of the hearing in my left ear. And I can't hear out of it, and I don't know why. And so I got to go to the doc this week and figure that out. But apparently nobody else can understand me either, because I don't think I could be any clearer in what I've said here. And what I said with the Braves is simple. Okay? What I said with the Braves is I'm waving the white flag on my demand that they win the World Series. That's it. That's all. If they don't make the playoffs, okay, so what? We'll retool. I'm not quitting. I'm just accepting what they are. And if you don't want to accept what they are, and you're going to make some kind of demand and start pounding the table that if they don't win the World Series that it was a choke or a fail, you and I are not going to see eye to eye. I'm just telling you that right now. Okay? We're just not. So there's all this going on. We got the Braves white flag debate here that's going on that apparently I'm not clear on, I guess. We have the tech thing going on. Is this more tech really good, or Florida State bad, or a little bit of both? And does this tell you that this is going to be a... Because I tell you what it tells me. Of course, we can't know. I think we're getting set up for a wild season in college football. And for the Falcons, my question to Will McFadden is to you, and I encourage you to read Will's columns at AtlantaFalcons.com. Are the Falcons better on offense, or are they better on defense? So a lot to talk about here. You can pick or choose any of that and jump into the program. Let's have a discussion. And if you want to call me out, that's fine. We can disagree without being disagreeable. Just don't be a Richard. That's all. At 404-726-0929, John Fricke with you on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nor Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.